Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
In 1979, I gave my life to the Lord, and that's all I wanted to do. I didn't have anything beyond that. There was no plan. For probably 4 or 5 years, if you'd asked me what was going to happen to me when I died, I'd have said, I'm going to hell. Because I did, I was posed with that question twice toward the last year before I became a Christian. And it was just so casual. I could just say, yeah, I'm going to hell. I didn't say I was burning in hell. I didn't say I was damned. I just said, I'm going to hell. And I knew, somehow I knew without having been churched, without ever inquiring about it or studying it, that because Jesus wasn't Lord of my life. And it's interesting to me that how I knew that. I don't know how I knew that. And I'll tell you what's interesting. The Bible says that the spirit's willing and the flesh is weak. And that's still true in my life today. But you know, when your spirit man that's not alive unto God but realizes, man, I believe my spirit man knew there was a change coming, that something was going on spiritually in the atmosphere of my life. And then I gave my life to Jesus, and I was like, is that it? I confessed Jesus, and wait, it's got to be more than this. It was kind of a letdown. It was pretty anticlimactic for me. But what happened after that changed everything. And what changes are the disciplines of our life. And that's what truly changes us as believers. That we go from being spiritually undisciplined to the spiritual disciplines of our lives being the pinnacle of what we think about and what we do. See, this battle that we're facing right now, and we're all aware of it, we're not going to talk about it at church, but the battle that we face right now as believers, as Christians, as people bound and determined to proclaim the wonderful relationship that God has with us through his son Jesus, this isn't a new battle. This isn't a new war that the devil's picking with us or with the church or whatever. As that new believer in 79, I was confronted with messages that conflicted. They were diametrically opposed to each other. See, one message was hiding in the weeds, and that's where I lived. And the other message illuminated this path of righteousness, this path of success, this path of health and prosperity. And I'm just going to tell you this. If your heart's open today, and this is a big deal. The Bible says we enter his gates with thanksgiving. We come to his courts with praise. It's thanksgiving and praise. And what does that bring us? That gets us to a place of joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. So it's thanksgiving, so God, I'm thankful for the life you've given me, for the wife you've given me, God, the children and the family and the family of believers all around my life and strong, amazing people. I'm so thankful and appreciative. And God, I praise you today that all my needs met according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we're praising God. What does that get us to? Is joy. And what Jesus said is, my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. See, what's interesting, we sang that song, and I've not heard that song before, that we fill the room because God wants to, and God wants to fill our hearts. Well, God wants to fill everything in our life. God wants there to be an overflow in our life so that there's no question to leave. No, write this down. God doesn't want to leave any doubt. See, and what God's doing at Guts Church right now, I'm just telling you, it's a new team, but in the same dream. A new team where there's room for everyone. Man, I'm telling you, we give a t-shirt out to everybody that visits our church, and we just want them to have, man, we just want you to have a jersey. Just where everybody's got the same jersey on, and man, everybody's got similar standards, and we operate by the same system to fulfill the purpose, the vision, the mission that God's put in our lives. See, it's not just about the pastor's vision and he needs a lot of little helpers. It's about the vision for your life. I mean, it's that simple. See, God is what God's doing. He's sculpting us. We're the clay. And he's molding the vision of our life and the mission of our life, man, for us to be fulfilled and us to be overly satisfied and for us to be content, no matter whether we abase or abound, whether we have much or have little, we're content. See, I'm telling you, that's the charge I give you, I guess, as Christian Americans. Right now, we have to be content. I'm telling you, man, God's not going to leave us high and dry. God's not going to leave us hanging. I'm telling you, the righteous are never forsaken. And understand the authority that we have as believers. Understand that what we say is what we get. And we speak God's word. And the Bible says in season and out of season, pray without ceasing. Man, but we've got to humble ourselves. See, if your heart's open today, the uncompromised word of truth, we're open to that. Are you open to a word that's not going to compromise to your feelings? Are you open to a word that might just offend some parts of your life or lifestyle? See, we've got to be open to that. See, then what happens? Everything becomes amazing. But everything starts here with humility. To submit your, the Bible said, James said, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he has to flee. But see, some of you guys have generationally been a part of churches that are like, man, I'm under attack. Man, the devil's attacking me. It's like, wait a second, time out. We don't make this up as we go along. It doesn't matter to me what previous generations have said or what religion says. The Bible says, submit yourself to God. So what does submit mean? You relinquish all rights. God, I just give you my life. See, that's what happened to me. God, I give you my life. Man, you guys that are raising teenagers and man, they start dating. Man, tell those teenagers unapologetically, you don't give your heart away. When you give your heart away is when you say I do at that altar. See, if you don't give your heart away, nobody can break your heart. But there's so many I see young people that fall in love and then become heartbroken, and it messes with them, with their relationship with God, their relationship with the church, with their family. Man, they become vulnerable to things. I'm telling you, the Bible says guard your heart. Now listen, with all diligence. How do we do that? We discipline ourselves. It's the disciplines of our life. Sure, in this life, let me tell you, there's going to be a bit of suffering. There is. Most of it's going to be social. But there's going to be a bit of suffering. And there's going to be temptation in your life to yield to sin. See, and what's interesting, the Bible says if your heart doesn't condemn you, you're confident with God. See, there's things for me that are lawful. I get by with it. I could do it, but it's not expedient. It's not gonna. It doesn't fall in line with the vision, mission, and values that I placed on my life. Does that make sense to you? See, so we look at it. We think, well, but we can't be like those kids that are saying, "Man, but Dad, everybody's doing it." No, you know what? This walk that we have, this life we have in God, it's a narrow path. See, there's two paths. One's wide and well-traveled. One's narrow. It's a squeeze. It was a squeeze for me to get into the kingdom. It's a squeeze today, 42 years later. See, why? Because we're taking that narrow path. But you know what? God will widen the path beneath our feet so they don't slip. We're not going to fall off the edge. Man, listen, you think about it. How long have you known God? How long have you loved God? And you haven't screwed it up yet. Because God, let me tell you what he's going to do. He's going to widen the path beneath your feet so they don't slip. See, God's word, when we trust in God's word, we put our trust in God's word. When we put our trust in his word, that means we don't mind saying it. I trust it. I trust him. We put our trust, guess what? We always prevail. always. Doesn't matter what we face. Cancer, you know what my statement about cancer can't kill you, but fear attached to that cancer, cooked, stick a fork in it. See, this is how this works. See, everything is spiritual. Right, Sandy? Help me out here. Man, everything is spiritual. Write that down. Everything is spiritual. The Bible says, though I walk in the flesh, I don't war according to the flesh. So the way we walk, yeah, it's natural. I picked out an outfit today. I guess you'd call this an outfit. It looks like a lot of days. But God didn't direct me what to wear today. Why? Because this is part of my walk. But I don't war according like this. It's not haphazard. I don't go to the closet. I don't need, like, my closet door, it's a walk-in closet. The door opens and the light goes on. If that light goes off, it doesn't bother me a bit. I can still pick out something. I don't need a light bulb to pick out an outfit, okay? But the point is, listen, we've got to understand that everything in our life, the way you're married, what's going on in your marriage, your children, your health, it's all spiritual. And I'll tell you, the way Sandy and I, the way we've done it for 37 years is if something's going on in our home that doesn't reflect the promise of God, I'm telling you, we sit down, it's like, where's the door open? We're not leaving a door open. Because the Bible says that the devil, man, he's searching for whom he may devour. The Bible says, like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. He's acting like one. See, we've got to understand that. See, we've got to do is we've got to tap into the incredible resource that God's given us, and hold on to your hair hat here, for abundance. Man, God wants us to walk in abundance. And you know what? If we get diverted and we want to go and fight in the flesh, man, I'm telling you, we're leaving that path of abundance. See, the whole idea of what's interesting is that, man, the Israelites were tribal. There were tribes. Men and women are tribal. Man, there's this, if you will, this is a tribe. Well, the number one thing to identify a tribe is not what they wear or what they eat or how they settle or how they have a family. The number one thing is how they kill. That's the number one thing that identifies a tribe. So we look at it, it's like, are we just gonna slap fight with sickness and disease? Are we gonna try to find a balance with science and nature and the word of God, the promise of God? Or are we gonna put all our trust? Hey, how about this? Hey, trust the science. I really don't have any trust left. All my trust is in God. Amen. I put all my trust in God. Well, the science is conflicting. I don't care. No, I don't. I don't have a place in my heart to trust anything other than God's word, because everything's going to change and shift. Everything is. See, we have to look at it. We have to understand, wait a second. I'm going to put my trust in what is absolutely, unequivocally stable every day, every night, no matter what, no matter what's happening, no matter what the temperature is, no matter what kind of winds are blowing, it doesn't matter to me. Turn your Bibles. You guys ready to get in the Word? Give me a thumbs up. Anybody ready to get in the Word? Luke, the 6th chapter. Hurry up. Enough of this lollygagging. We're going to hustle today. That's a core value in my life. And it's my dog's name. Luke 6:43. For a good tree doesn't bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. This is interesting. It's like, well, you know, my son, he's a good kid. He's just hanging out with the wrong people. Okay, that's poor parenting. All right? Man, if the fruit's good, the tree's good. If the fruit's bad, the tree's bad. Get your kid with good trees. okay? For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men don't gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from the bramble bush. We've got to be consistent. We as a church can't offer thorns. We can't offer the bramble bush for people to try to get fruit out of. Man, we've got to be consistent in our walk. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of evil treasure of hearts brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart. It's not, whatever you fill your heart with is what's going to come out of your mouth. And this is going to become a big deal in the next few verses. See, what Jesus is doing is he's giving an example here, and he's using agriculture, and it's making sense, but he's leading to a knockout punch to these guys. But and then Jesus said this. He said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. He said, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things which I say? This is interesting. Man, why do you call these guys? Here's a dozen guys that have given their lives. Man, they've left everything. They've abandoned it all. And he's like, okay, why do you call me Lord, but you don't do what I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I'll show you who he's like. This is huge. So let's just break, let's stop for a second. Let's settle here and break this down. Number one, comes to me. You've got to get where he is. See, the reason you came to Jesus is he got where you wanted to be. But now that we're in, we've got to get where he is. Number two, we've got to hear what he's saying. See, this word today, let me tell you, is a current word for your life. And number three, and this is a big one, does them. What do you do? What he says. Verse 48, he's like a man building a house. Some of this is going to correct maybe some of your theology today, some of your doctrine today. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that dwelling or against that house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Now listen, write this down. Could not shake it. Couldn't. So whatever storm is flailing in your life right now, it can't shake you. You stand bold, you stand strong, you stand confident, you be courageous. I'm telling you, you're going to see a fruitful end to this. No matter what. I'm telling you, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. You have what you say. You're filling yourself up with everything that the world wants to pick a fight. And let me tell you how politics works. Looky, looky, looky. Okay, you guys looking? Looky, looky, looky. And then this hand, they're signing bills and they're putting things through and they're going, looky, looky, looky. And we're looking up at what's shining. We're like, wait a second, that can't be happening. That can't be right. And the next thing you know, man, abortion becomes a right. And the next thing you know, we can't be asleep at the switch. We can't look at it and then be saying, hey, looky, looky, looky. We've got to stay on course. What Jesus said is, you've got to do what I say. Man, we're not here to pick our own battles. We're not here to pick our own fights. I'm telling you, what we're going to do is we're going to walk into one. And that's the life I want to live. I want to live the life where I'm going to live my life following Jesus. And the next thing you know, there's a battle rage. It's like, okay, let's hook him up. Because he's given me a sword. Amen. And you know, that sword is 18 inches long. So now, you know what I've got to do? When he leads and guides me in all truth, man, that truth, the sword is the word of God. What happens is I've got to get in the middle of it then. See, but if I'm in the middle of everything else, it's not going to work. If I'm not led by my spirit and doing what Jesus said to do, how do I find that out? In the more sure word of faith, more sure word of prophecy in his word. You know, in Revelation, the 12th chapter and the 10th verse, we'll go back to the gospel here in a minute. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ has come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him, and this is the key, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they didn't love their lives to the death. I'll tell you what's amazing. So many people, they're loving their lives into death. Man, I want what's handy. Man, we can't raise our children and always make it easy on them. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Jesus said, don't fear, little children, I'm always with you. And then he said this, take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy, my burden's light. Man, the yoke that the world's throwing at us, so difficult. What do we do? See, and we've got to understand this. At some point, this has got to register in us. See, we live by faith. We live by trust. We pray the prayer of faith. We don't come to God based upon need. And you know what? That's how so many people are. We come to God based upon his provision, based upon his promise, not based upon his need. You know that Bone Thugs song, I found out, man, it's the first of the month because the check's coming in. I'll tell you what, God didn't call us to live off the government. God didn't call us to wait for the government dole to come to the mailbox and now we can pay our rent. Amen. No, you know what? The Bible says a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. Amen. See, we've got to listen, and I'm not saying this politically. I'm just telling you, there's these voices and there's all this, and it comes off as care and compassion. Here, you better not say that because it doesn't sound like you care. No, let me tell you something. I care deeply. I've given my life to this. Man, we've got a team of people Friday morning. I watch those guys in 100-degree temperature hand groceries to people driving through, and not 10% of them said thank you. But you know what? We're still going to give them those groceries and sweat dripping off their nose. People bringing their kids. I see 10 and 12-year-old little kids taking bags of groceries. How many do you need? I need two more. And they got to run back and get two more. Like they're ordering like this. Like, see, we've got to understand that we're a peculiar people. And we get emotional about serving God. We don't come to God because of our need. We come to God because of his provision. See, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Remember the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The word of our testimony is my trust is in God. I'll tell you, if God, the Bible says God's Jehovah Rapha. He's the God who heals us. He sent his word and healed us and delivered us from our destruction. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. He sent himself and healed us. If God's not the healer, I am out. I'm not kidding you. I'm not playing here. I'm not trying to be dramatic. God heals. That's all he does. Is God here right now? Is God here right now? That means healing's here right now. Well, I got to wait for somebody to lay hands on me. I got to wait for somebody. No, it's the blood of the Lamb. Did he shed his blood? Is his blood active today? Power. We're saved by power. We're saved by grace through faith. We're saved by his power, his unmerited favor through faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Okay, what's faith? I believe that he is and he's the rewarder. See, faith, the whole idea of this message today is I want you to leave here fully persuaded. I'm not asking you to have figured the whole thing out. I'm not asking you to have deep eschatology. I'm not asking you to be a great theologian. I'm just asking you to leave here fully persuaded that he is and the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you. Now listen, in due time. In due time. Let me tell you, there's information that you're going to get today that you're going to be able to allow to be sown in your heart. It's going to produce fruit in your life and bring due time to fruition. Casting all your care upon him. Casting all your care upon him. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. See, you know what that tells me? I'm not built to carry that care. I'm not built for that. I'm here. Listen, write this down. We have to be willing to share and ready to give. We have to do our part. See, what's the first thing Jesus did? He built a team. Brian's worked here for 25 years, and he's a solid man of God. Man, I can't imagine doing this, but if he's doing what God's called him to do here alone, he's doing it wrong. Man, here's the disciples. He comes to Peter. He said, hey, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. He's cleaning his nets. He left his nets. He left his boat. He's following Jesus. They walk by Matthew's office. Matthew's out on the front porch. Matthew was a tax collector that these guys hated because he was Jewish, and he collected the Roman tax plus a little bit for himself. The Romans didn't pay him. He took it from the Jews. So Jesus walking by, looked up at Matthew, and Matthew's looking at him, and they made eye contact. And Jesus said, hey, you want to join in? You want to hook up? Come on, follow me. Peter was like, whoa, wait a minute. Time out here. I hate that guy. He's been ripping me off. He ripped my old man off. He's ripped me off, my brothers off. So here's Peter now that gets to write an epistle. What does he say? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It's like those guys that are, I don't think they call them this anymore, spandex quarterbacks, that are guys that are playing 7-on-7 and they got their, what do you call that now? You don't call it spandex, so I don't know what they call it now, but they're playing against very little opposition and they're making all the throws and then they don't translate into the NFL or into college football. But then there's guys like Philip Rivers that, man, half the men in the room have got a better throwing motion than he does. Ben Roethlisberger, man, half the men in the room are better athletes than him. But what do? They keep the play alive. What do? They extend the play. Why? They're not going to freak out. Man, they're not going to let fear overcome them. They're going to be able to stand there thinking, I'm going to take a hit. This might hurt. But let me tell you, that wide receiver is about to separate from that defender, and he's about to become open. We've got to be steadfast. We've got to be sober and vigilant. 1 Peter 5, 9 says, resist the devil. He's a roaring lion. All we have to do is resist him. Do you see, this is two times in the word. James and Peter both just said, look, resist him. Just put up some resistance. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood all over the world. See, may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while. It's like, oh my gosh, come on, come on, come on. Man, I want it right now. Come on, God, don't you hear me snapping my fingers? After we suffered a while, what he's going to do, listen, perfect. Here's a word of the Lord for you guys that are in that little suffering place right now. I'm telling you, the fruit of that, you being steadfast and immovable, the fruit of that is that you're going to be perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. See, that's what God's word promises. But a lot of times, man, what happens? Man, that a little bit of suffering comes and we quit. We start whining. We can't handle it. We can't take it. Humble yourself. Steadfast in the faith. The devil, like a roaring lion, but he's not one. He's not. He plays one on TV. Listen, the devil can't read your mind. You guys that pray in tongues, he doesn't understand your prayer language. Man, to some of you guys that you've never prayed in tongues, that's a big advantage. You pray in the Spirit, and your mind's unfruitful. But let me tell you, the devil can't understand it either, but you're praying mysteries. And it builds you up on your most holy faith. But so if he can't read your mind, how does he identify you as a soft target? Because he identifies people by what they say. What's coming out of their mouth. Going back to Matthew, the 12th chapter and the 37th verse. By your words you're justified, by your words you're condemned. See, that's the control God's given you. He said, look, I give you the power. See, God doesn't say I have the power of life and death. God's word doesn't say good Lord gives and good Lord takes away. He said, I give you the power. The power is in your tongue. The power is in your words. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. See, this isn't something we're hoping is going to happen. This is absolute. This is a truth that will never change. Luke 4:7 says, therefore, if you'll worship before me, all will be yours. Jesus, here's how this breaks down in closing. Jesus is the rock, and this is gonna maybe bring some correction to your doctrine. Jesus is the rock. So what we say and do is the foundation. See, I talk to people and casually they think that the rock, the word's their foundation. And the word's not their foundation. The word is what they build their foundation upon. See, we build our own foundation. See, where James said, not a hearer only, but a doer of the word. So we've got to dig deep. That's what the Bible says. Dig deep and find that bedrock and then build your foundation on that rock. Now what happens? Man, when the storm comes and the wind and the water vehemently beat against that house, nothing will happen. I said, nothing will happen. Let me tell you, all this is right now, this impending doom, is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour that has been stripped of all of his armament and weapons. He has no weaponry. Man, the disciples came to Jesus and said, oh my gosh, you're not going to believe this, Lord. Even demons are subject to us in your name. He said, look, don't freak out because demons are subject to you in my name. He said, understand this, your names are written in heaven. Your citizenship's in heaven now. Your authority's in heaven now. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Man, we have to understand that the defeat the devil suffered at the hands of Jesus was like nothing that it has ever been or will ever be. It's the defeat of defeats. It was the greatest defeat that there ever was. And so we have to understand that. God's blessing, then, what you say and what you do is what builds the foundation. That's why Jesus said, do what I say. Do what I say. Why? Because you'll start building a foundation in your life. Just be doers of the word. Why? Because that foundation's got to be strong because there's a storm coming. I'm telling you this, you're either in a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or a storm's about to hit your life. That's how the world works. Doesn't know another way. But you know what? We rise above it. Man, I've been on jets before, and the pilot said, look, it's going to be a little rocky till we get above the storm. Well, that rocky place elevating above the storm when we're going through it, that's a little bit of suffering. When you suffer for a while, what's going to happen? God's going to comfort you. God's going to perfect you. God's going to settle you. See, but we get above it. What is it? Now it's smooth. That's the place God's called you to be. See, what you've got to understand is you've got to let cancer be your footstool. You've got to let strife in your home be your footstool. You've got to let the idea that you can't have abundance and wealth in your life be your footstool. You've got to rise above it. You've got to elevate above it. There might be a little bit of turbulence getting through it. That's that little bit of suffering that we have. Or we could just fly through the turbulence with the world and just get our eye teeth shook out. That's what's happening. What I love about the time we're living right now is it separates the men from the boys. People have to decide, can you play hurt? Because God's not going to allow you to be injured. But sometimes it hurts. People are going to reject you. You're going to get passed over for promotions. But you know what? None of that stuff matters. I said, none of that stuff matters. Well, I didn't get the job. Any door God opens, no man can close. But any door God closes, no man can open. How about God close that door? How about you just go to the next door? Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in serving God. Don't be weary about being committed to church. Don't be weary about buying Guts Girls conference tickets. Don't be worried, but in due season, you'll reap your faint not. See, that's all the devil wants to do. The devil wants to get you to cower. The devil wants to get you to lay back. The devil wants to get you to faint. Man, we as Christians, we don't walk around and go, man, I feel a little faint. It's like, get over yourself. You're dehydrated. You got to get some water, the water of the word.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.